Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now. Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley back with you on the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. It's January 6th, and or if you're listening on our rebroadcast, it's maybe the 7th or the 8th, but it's early January, and we have some interesting things that come up at the beginning of the year, of course, as we're winding down the Christmas season here. First of all, the great solemnity of the Epiphany is coming up. Technically, today, January 6th, is the day to celebrate the Epiphany, but we, of course, will be celebrating it on Sunday, the 8th. And, of course, the Epiphany is all about the making of Christ known to the nations, right? We focus on the Magi coming and paying their homage to the Christ child. And in so doing, they're symbolic of the entirety of the world who has come to know and realize that Christ is the Lord of all. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And as we see him there as the King of kings and Lord of lords, it was striking me as I was thinking about this morning that the Magi had a star to follow, right? So they followed this star that had come and led them to Bethlehem. And when they saw the Christ child, they knew that this was the King of kings and Lord of lords. They offered him these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold to symbolize his royalty, his kingship. Frankincense or incense to celebrate his divinity, and myrrh. This balm that is used in preparation for death and to give a little foreshadowing to the type of death that he would die as well. And as I was thinking about these things, I was thinking that the star that God uses now is actually the church. God still wants Christ to be known, right, as the Lord of lords and King of kings. But instead of using celestial beings, he uses earthly beings. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the church has been empowered to be Epiphany each and every day. That's why I love it, and if any deacons are out there listening, as you're giving the final charge at the end of Mass, I would encourage you, I love to hear it, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. We are an epiphanic people. I don't know if that's actually a word, epiphanic. We are an Epiphany people. We are meant to announce the good news of the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in everyday lives, whether we are speaking in front of many or just with a few. We are to live our lives and speak the truth of the gospel each and every day. So that's what's coming up with Epiphany. But you know what? It's also a new year. So did you make any New Year's resolutions this year? Did you, I guess the more salient question is, have you blown them yet? It's early in the year, but you know, sometimes the resolutions that I make, they don't make them much out of the gate. But I hope that as part of the New Year's resolution, one of the resolutions you made was something to help develop your own spiritual life, your own faith. And that's really what we're going to be focusing on and talking about today is we're going to be talking about Lectio Divina. Are you familiar with this term? Lectio Divina, the divine reading, right? This is a specific practice of slow meditative reading of the scriptures in a very prayerful way, listening for the voice of God to speak into us. And we've got some great guests with us. We'll have Father Jonathan Kelly on a little bit later on, who's going to talk to us about what Lectio Divina actually is, how to practice it. And he's going to be leading a workshop at the end of January here in the Twin Cities area. We also have two people from the parish of Our Lady of Grace. We have Sean Lavelle, who's on staff there, and we have Cheryl Moran, who's going to be here as well, speaking with us in studio about the experience of Lectio Divina that they have had there at Our Lady of Grace. And so I hope that if you haven't made any resolutions this year on how to deepen your own spiritual life, to get into a closer intimacy with Christ, then perhaps the show will inspire you to make a resolution that you're going to practice Lectio Divina. That'll be one of the things that you can pick up and seek to add to your spiritual arsenal, as it were, and to develop your own life of faith. And then, actually, as we develop our own prayer life, our own life of faith, that is what enables us and inspires us to be that epiphanic people. I keep using that word. I'm probably coining that word right now, but to be that people who seeks to show the light of the gospel out into the world today where it is so desperately needed. So, as always, why don't we pause for a moment and commit this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are going to take a short break right now, but we'll be back in just a moment with Father Jonathan Kelly to speak about Lectio Divina.
As a longtime sponsor and supporter of Relevant Radio, the Glasgow Automotive family encourages that today we all pray a memorare for the state of the country, keeping in mind our first responders, police officers, and those who serve to keep us safe.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. We're speaking about Lectio Divina this morning. And now joining me in studio is Father Jonathan Kelly, who's the rector of St. John Vianney College Seminary. No? Are you not?
Thank you, Patrick. But no, I'm actually a spiritual director and a formator there.
Director and formator.
Our rector is the very Reverend Father Michael Becker,
who's of course,
dear
yes.
friend of mine.
Right, of course. Father Becker, I apologize. Yes, he's a fellow Relevant Radio host, too, so he might get me back on his show. Anyway, but as a formator, thank you, and a spiritual director there at St. John Vianney College Seminary, we welcome you. How are things going over at St. John Vianney these days?
Thank you, Patrick. Good to be with you. Things are wonderful, and I'd like to adopt that term epiphanic.
Epiphanic? Yeah, exactly. I'm making it up as I go along.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think that's part of the spirit of St. John Vianney Seminary is teaching the young men how to respond to God in their lives and then share that joy with others. And so I'm filled with a lot of hope every day, meeting with 130 of the fine young men who are discerning God's will for their life. So I love being assigned at the seminary, and every day I get to witness minor miracles of young men responding to God's call in today's environment.
Right, right. It must be an incredible privilege. So we are also privileged to have you on the show this morning talking about Lectio Divina. Now, you led a workshop back in September on Lectio Divina, and you've got another one coming up at the end of this month, at the end of January on Lectio Divina. And I guess let's just start with kind of the basics. Can you give us just a basic, what is Lectio Divina? What am I talking about when I say Lectio Divina?
Well, Lectio Divina is from the Benedictine tradition. It's a centuries-old way of praying, of encountering God through divine reading. You mentioned that earlier. Lectio Divina is simply Latin for divine reading. Mm-hmm. And so it's what we read. So the matter is Scripture. So it's divine in the sense that the Scripture is inspired, and we know that there's a power in the inspired Word of God, and how Scripture can speak to us in a particular way. Mm-hmm. You know, when Jesus speaks to the apostles, he speaks to them differently. He speaks to Peter differently than he speaks to Mary Magdalene, than he speaks to the woman at the well. And so there's an individual particular content to Scripture that we're meant to appropriate today.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the living Word of God. So it's divine in that sense that it's Holy Scripture's inspired, and the manner in the way that we read it, it's a reading, but really it's a listening.
Okay.
It's a listening as we read. We read it in faith, and we're listening to how this Word, this divine Word, is impacting our own hearts.
Right. So it's not merely just a collapsing on the couch with a good book type of thing, or the good book, I suppose we could say,
right.
But it is an active listening, an active participation. It is an act of prayer. Is that right?
It's an act of prayer, and traditionally it has four parts.
Okay.
So the lectio would be, we would read, and then the second part would be meditatio, so under the eye of God, oratio, until the heart is touched.
Mm.
So we're reading something, we're paying attention to it, we're reading it under the eye of God, and then oratio until a desire within us rises and leaps into flame, contemplatio. So that's a quote from Dom Marmion, Blessed Dom Marmion, who's a Benedictine abbot. So we look to the Benedictines for how to pray Lectio Divina. Lectio, we read, meditatio, under the eye of God, oratio until the heart is touched, and then finally contemplatio until it leaps into flame.
Yeah, I love it. And so what ultimately can Lectio Divina, the practice of Lectio Divina, do for my faith? I mean, how when it leaps into flame, what does that look like, I guess?
That's a great question. Prayer's relationship.
Mm.
And so it's one way of bringing us into relationship with the one who made us, with God. One way to say it is that we're no longer talking about God, but we're talking to Him, mm. and speaking with Him. The third person becomes the second person.
I like it.
The He becomes you. And part of my job at St. John Vianney is spiritual director,
mm-hmm.
for some of the men, and I led the group on a retreat at Broomtree last year, which is for the second year men, often a very significant retreat. It's a directed retreat where they're praying with Scripture for four holy hours a day. And that was a significant experience for one of the seminarians. He said he would come in and speak to me during our daily 45 minutes of spiritual direction. And he was so honest with me about what he was experiencing. And I said, have you shared that? Have you been this honest with God?
Mm-hmm.
And a light bulb went off. I said, okay, now when you just go into the second person with everything you've said to me the rest of the day. And it totally opened up for him his relationship with God in prayer.
I love the imagery of that specifically that moving from the third person to the second person. That almost invites right there. Well, it does invite this sense of intimacy. This obviously it's a sense that the Lord is very near, very present, able to hear the things that we're speaking, that we're desiring as we're speaking them, and able to speak to us as well, right? It's a conversation. We are listening. It's not just us giving God the laundry list.
Right. It's one way to say, am I ruminating in prayer? Am I just sitting here reading? Or actually, do I believe that someone is there?
Right, right.
On the other end of the telephone.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Yeah. So, obviously, it seems obvious to me that the Lectio Divina has had some impact in your own life spiritually, mm-hmm. that you've practiced this for a while now. Tell us a little bit about how Lectio Divina, what kind of a difference it's made in your own life.
Right. I think it's God's irony because it still remains difficult for me to pray this way.
Mm, okay.
and that I have
That's
now,
honest.
now been asked to lead a couple of workshops in the Archdiocese. I know that that's God's sense of humor to me to continue to pray this way. But I was first started when I made an Ignatian retreat. I made the spiritual exercises while I was in seminary. It's a 30-day retreat. And that's really where I began to pray this way, imaginative prayer and reading the Scriptures in this way where a conversation can begin. So that changed my life, 2007, and that was really where I learned how to pray with the Scriptures for the first time.
Wow. And so as someone who has practiced Lectio Divina, What kind of things are you listening for as you go through these four steps? How does God speak? I know there have been specific times in my own life where I have sensed, I've not heard an audible voice, but I've sensed the words so strongly that I have to believe that it's the Lord speaking. But those are few and far between. Right. And Lectio Divina is meant to be a regular practice. So what kind of things, how do we hear, how does Lectio Divina help us hear the voice of God?
Well, you make a great point, Patrick. There are moments that we have where it's unmistakable, you know, where we couldn't have made something up, where it is the voice of God, and it keeps giving us that grace to believe that and to draw strength from those moments. But part of what we want to encourage people is not to be intimidated by this. And the fact that we encounter God every day in prayer, it's not so much that we see him, but we know that he sees us, and that we're listening for him, making ourselves available, and having hearts that are becoming attentive to the movements of the Holy Spirit.
Right, and so when we're in this mode, is this something, or if we're contemplating starting to practice this Lectio Divina and listening for the voice of God? Is this something that it's really not for spiritual beginners, or is this something that if you're just kind of starting out in a relationship with Christ, would you say something along these lines is helpful even when you're, you know, very young in a relationship with Christ, or is it really for the advanced, so to speak?
The scriptures are always a place for us to be.
Right.
You know, St. Therese, who is obviously very advanced, she said at a certain point she didn't want to read spiritual books anymore because all of those were just a faint imitation of the voice that she heard in the scriptures, which was the voice of God. So scriptures are always a place for us to be grounded, and that's what we have at daily Mass. That's what we have in the Liturgy of the Hours. That's what the Angelus is the Holy Scripture. So it's certainly not just for the advanced. I think Scripture is the fountain from which our relationship with God continues to grow, because that is His Word.
Right.
And again, like you mentioned earlier, it's not just curling up with an autobiography of Lincoln. It's an inspired Word. It's the divine Word, and it has an efficacy that other writings do not have, and especially when it's proclaimed. We've talked a lot about when we read it personally, which is divine reading, but also when it's proclaimed at Mass. A story from my first parish, a woman was there. She was a doctor, but she had a medical condition that was not able to be discovered or diagnosed. Well, during the reading of the gospel, it was a gospel about when Jesus heals someone.
Okay.
It was during that reading where she was standing up amidst a very large parish that she knew that God was going to heal her. She said, I might be healed now. I don't know if I'm healed right now, but I know I will be. And that happened in the proclamation of the word. So, and it turns out she was, you know, so she was a doctor herself, and the symptoms went away, and she experienced healing. But it was in the proclamation of the word during the Mass,
right,
that his word is effective. It's efficacious. And that's why we can say that the Holy Scriptures are sacramental in a certain way. They affect what they signify. If Jesus touches someone, they're healed. It had that effect on her. And so it changes the way I preach the gospel.
I'll bet.
It changes the way I read the gospel. So as a new priest, I was thinking, sometimes I just, you know, be still thinking about my homilies. I preach the gospel and I say, I got to step out of the way here and let the power of the word wash over the people, and then preach the homily when it's time to preach the homily, but give it a certain reverence for the word of God.
Yeah, that's a great reminder for all clergy, all priests and deacons, but also for lay readers as well who are proclaiming the word as well, that we've got to get out of the way and let the word do what it's supposed to do. So in the Mass, we're most oftentimes given relatively bite-sized chunks. Sometimes they can be just a couple of lines, but sometimes it's usually it's more than that. And occasionally you can get really long readings in Mass, daily Mass especially. You can come across those long readings, those lengthy readings. But, you know, if I'm going to sit down and I'm going to try to practice this Lectio Divina that you're talking about, this meditative reading of the Scriptures, my understanding is that it's not meant to be a lengthy passage that we're supposed to focus on. But you know what? I've got this, whatever, 1,000-page Bible sitting in front of me. That can be a little intimidating. And do I just do the holy flip? You know, just open the Bible and wherever it falls open, we'll just guess that that's where God wants me to read. What's a good way to get into the practice of Lectio Divina?
That's a great question. You know, that we call that Bible bingo sometimes.
There you go.
Where you flip it open. And there's precedence for that. That's St. Augustine's ultimate conversion was that when he went to the letters of St. Paul. But you're right. It is intimidating, and we can rely on guides. You know, if you type in Lectio Divina on the internet, you're probably going to get a number of great passages that can help us navigate the Scriptures. What I like to do in spiritual direction is listen for where a man is, where God is working in their life already. And then I will give them a scripture passage to that talks about those things so that it can dispose their heart to God to deepen the grace where he's already working. So for example, anxiety, you know, I think many of us could relate to that, certain points, anxiety. Well, a great scripture passage would be Luke 12, where Jesus talks about, remember the lilies in the field, you know, where they neither toil nor spin, yet God has clothed them and arrayed them with beauty. So worry not. God will take care of you. If he cares for them, he will care for you. So a passage like that, where if someone's struggling with anxiety, that's where Jesus addresses anxiety. And that, again, that divine reading, that power of the word can work in our hearts to bring us healing, bring us encounter with the one who says, do not be afraid. And so that can happen. And there's one book that I like to recommend. It's called Too Deep for Words. It's written by a religious sister, Thelma Hall, Too Deep for Words. And what I like about it is it has 500 scripture passages broken down into 50 different topics.
Wow.
So hope, if you need scripture passages about hope, there are 10. If you need some about grief, you know, there are 10 passages on grief. There's 10 on sorrow. There's 10 on joy, 10 on love, you know, charity. So that would be my suggestion, is one, to say, where is the Lord working in my heart right now? And then go to a scripture passage that where Jesus is talking about that, so that that could then open up for you.
And I know I've even had the experience sometimes of just asking the Lord outright, where should I read today? And and occasionally, occasionally he graces me with somewhat of a direction, which is nice. We're speaking with Father Jonathan Kelly, who's going to be leading another workshop here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis on Lectio Divina. That workshop is coming up on Tuesday, January 31st. That's the last day of the month, so it should be easy to remember. It's going to be at Good Shepherd Catholic Church in Golden Valley, and it's going to be 6:30 to 8 p.m. And if you are interested in registering for that workshop, you can go to rediscover-faith.org and look for events there and click on events, and you will come up with the workshop, the Lectio Divina workshop called Intentional Prayer. Father, one final question, because this workshop is actually being sponsored by the Archdiocesan Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. I'm just curious as to what your take on is, how does Lectio Divina actually help us in our mission, our task to share the gospel with others?
Well, that's called the disciples, you know, not to hang on to what we have received as if it were our own, but to give it away. And that's the joy of the gospel that Francis keeps reminding us of, is that we need to give others a reason why we live differently, and the joy is an attractive reason, and so I think that's partially what we need to be doing is praying, because we can't give what we don't have. And we want the greatest joy and the greatest peace is a relationship with God. And that needs to start with us.
Amen to that. Father Jonathan Kelly, thank you so much for joining us on the show
You're
this
welcome.
Morning. Now, we'll be back after just a few messages here with Sean Lavelle and Sharon Moran from the Parish of Our Lady of Grace in Edina. Keep with us.
Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation has over 150 years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. You can trust your arrangements to locally owned professionals dedicated to excellence in end-of-life arrangements. Pre-planning your funeral is now a very common and natural part of life, because it provides you with the time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now, or meet with a Washburn McGreevy pre-planning advisor in your home with no obligation. Choose Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cremation by calling 612-377-2203. Washburn McGreevy presents the Daily Mass and Rosary on Relevant Radio, 1330 AM.
Back to the Rediscover Hour. We're talking about Lectio Divina today. And joining us in studio now is Sean Lavelle, who's the Pastoral Associate for Mission and Discipleship at the Parish of Our Lady of Grace in Edina. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Patrick. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, it's good to have you here on the show. And so clearly, if we're talking about Lectio Divina, you have some familiarity with it, I would imagine. You've heard of it before. Oh, and by the way, speaking of hearing of it before, the good Paul Sadek did look up epiphanic over the break, and it is indeed a word. So I'm not coining the word, okay? I'm just going to use it liberally throughout the remainder of the show. So anyway, Sean, back to you and Lectio Divina. Tell us a bit about how you first heard about Lectio Divina, and how has specifically God used it in your own life of faith?
Yeah, it was probably, 15, 20 years ago, a few years after my conversion to Christ, I heard someone say that a great way to pray with Scripture is to read it slowly, and if a certain word or phrase stands out to you, don't just move on from that, like try to finish the book like a novel, but spend time with that word or phrase, delving deeper. This is probably preaching to the choir a little bit, but Father Kelly talked about this too, that we know that God is the primary author of Scripture, and every time we read Scripture, we can not only read what He wrote, but we can also encounter Him in our reading. That's the beauty of sacred Scripture, that the Holy Spirit resides there waiting for us to start that conversation. So praying with Scripture, Lectio Divina, has really opened the door for me to encounter the Holy Spirit, to go deeper in what the Scripture means to me. I mean, obviously, I'm reading what the Scripture is saying, but also what it means to me, where God is calling me to, where He's leading me to. Again, I think Father Kelly summed it up so well, that conversation that can happen.
Right, right. So in your role at Our Lady of Grace, then it's obviously been a vision of yours to help others to utilize this great resource of the church from the Benedictine tradition, this Lectio Divina. So how is Our Lady of Grace Parish actually utilizing Lectio Divina presently?
Yeah, good question. So Our Lady of Grace is using Lectio Divina in two ways, one in a small group setting, and in the other way for meetings. And the one I'd like to talk about is for meetings, something we call the First 15. I got this idea from Keith Strom, who's part of Sherry Waddell's team, the author of Forming Intentional Disciples. The idea of the First 15 is that every parish meeting starts with 15 minutes of prayer. Mm. So parish council, finance council, school board, staff meeting, whatever, it starts with 15 minutes of prayer, the First 15. Now, obviously, we could have chose a number of ways to pray in those 15 minutes, Liturgy of the Hours, Rosary Chaplet, all good, but we thought Lectio Divina would be perfect for Our Lady of Grace for three reasons. And by Lectio Divina, I mean, we almost exclusively use the gospel reading for the coming Sunday's liturgy.
Well, okay, so wait a minute. Before we get too far away from it, what are those three reasons that you mentioned? And what's the what's the overarching vision for this verse? I like the idea of it, although I'm a little bit task-oriented enough to think, wow, we're going to give up 15 minutes. But you know what? It's 15 minutes for the Lord, so I'm on board. But what's the vision for that? And then again, what are those three reasons?
Yeah. It's a good point, because sometimes if Lectio goes really well in a meeting, it's 20, 25 minutes. But really, isn't that what we want? Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, we want to be with God in heaven. So we want to spend time with Him. We want to draw closer to Him to build that relationship. And any sort of meeting work we need to do is going to flow out of that anyways.
Right. Good point.
So the three reasons we chose Lectio Divina, the first one is that it teaches participants how to pray, how to engage or enter into prayer. I've been in ministry for 15 years, and my experience is that we do a good job of telling our parish families that they should have a prayer life. Mm-hmm. We really do. Praise mm-hmm. the Lord for that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we even talk with them about tools they can use in their prayer life. But my experience is that rarely do we show them how to enter into prayer. Mm. You think about religious orders, and someone comes into that religious order, and the religious order is already praying, and they learn how to pray by seeing it. And that's the beauty of the workshop that's coming up at the end of the month, is that we're actually going to do Lectio Divina.
Right.
So as you're listening to this, you're thinking, well, this sounds great, but I still don't know if I can do it. We will show you how to pray. So the first reason we chose Lectio Divina for the first 15 was to show people how to pray. With myself or one of our priests or one of our prayer warriors at every parish meeting, we can show people how to enter into prayer. We can be a model for them. So I'm kind of a fix-it guy. I like fixing things around the house, and so I'm constantly going to YouTube to okay. figure out how to fix something. I just watched a 40-minute video on how to fix a washing machine. But if I were to read
Riveting.
That, it was, once the washing machine starts working. But if I were to read how to do that, it would be much harder for me to understand what's going on than actually seeing someone doing it.
Right.
So I think we need to show people how to pray. The second reason we're praying Lectio Divina is that in delving into the Scriptures, especially the Gospels, people encounter Jesus. Mm. They meet Jesus in his miracles and his parables and his actions and his humanity and his divinity. And as they delve into the gospel reading with each subsequent Lectio, they come to a better understanding of who Jesus is. In a way, a conversation has started between them and him, as Father Kelly was talking about, a conversation that hopefully they carry into the Sunday liturgy when they hear the gospel again and then connect it to the reception of the Eucharist where they really encounter Jesus.
Wow, yeah.
And then the third reason we use Lectio over the first 15 is that it gives participants a chance to talk about their faith in Jesus and his church with others. So part of our Lectio is to share with the group you're in what the reading is saying to you, what struck you or what's important to you. And so for some of them, they're just so excited to share their faith because they don't have an avenue to do that. But for some of them, they're not used to sharing their faith. Mm. And they're really learning how to do it for the first time. And Lectio provides a safe and loving environment where we're opening the door for them to share about their relationship with Jesus. And as they grow in the sharing, they become more comfortable. And as they become more comfortable, the sharing isn't limited to just their meeting or their Lectio group. They start sharing with others. Patrick, what's the word we use to describe sharing your faith in Jesus and his church with our neighbors, our coworkers, our extended family?
I think it's called evangelization, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. So we're called to be people of Epiphany, called to announce the good news. And once we're comfortable doing that, we can do that to everyone around us. And that's one of the goals of praying Lectio for us.
Okay, so just so I've got it. Okay, number one, it teaches the participants how to pray.
Yes.
Right? And in fact, it shows them how to pray.
Yes.
And then number two, that when participants practice Lectio Divina, they encounter Jesus, the living Lord, right?
Yes.
Okay. And number three, it gives them a chance to share their faith, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know how much we actually talked about with Father Kelly that, but that's a good point to make, that when Lectio is done in a group, typically you do have time set aside for people to share a little bit about what the Lord has said to them. And I think that's an excellent way. In fact, I love the idea that that's exactly what you're doing, is you're helping those, especially those who aren't used to talking about their faith, to have it's an open door, right, to be able to walk through and speak about how God is speaking to them and through them.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
That's a wonderful thing. Okay, so you're doing this at Our Lady of Grace, and you've got things going there. It sounds like it's a good practice, but I'm guessing that there are other parishes out there, other listeners that are listening right now who are thinking, wow, we should do this at my parish. So how would you advise other parishes in developing a practice of Lectio Divina?
Yeah, I think 99% of the spiritual life is just start. Start the first 15 in your parish meetings. Use 15 minutes for prayer. Don't just say a quick prayer and then start with the meeting, but actually spend some time in prayer. You can use Lectio Divina or you can use something else, whatever is best for your parish. Just, again, make sure that it helps people encounter Jesus, that it teaches people how to pray and encourages them to talk about their faith. And, you know, a lot of times I think, you know, the pastors are leading our parishes and they're doing a great job, but they don't need to be the only leaders. So you don't have to wait for your pastor to say, hey, let's spend the first 15 minutes of our meetings in prayer. You can go to your pastor, or if you're regularly part of a committee or group that's meeting, introduce this idea. You know what? I'd like to spend 15 minutes in prayer because I want us all to grow closer to the Lord, and I want our meeting to flow out of that conversation with Him.
Yeah.
We all want a healthy and active prayer life. We all want to be closer to God. So let's invite people to do that. Those of us who know how to pray really need to show others how we pray so they can encounter and grow closer to God too.
All right. Wonderful. Sean, just one just practical question around that as well. With the meetings that you're leading and you're facilitating the first 15, do you choose the scripture passage, or is it always it's frequently at least the gospel readings from Mass? Is it the gospel readings from the Mass of the day, or is it the coming Sunday, or how do you choose that?
Yeah, good question. The coming Sunday is what we choose, the gospel for the coming Sunday.
Okay.
Not always, but again, like 98% of the time. That's great because they encounter Jesus in the gospel. And then they also hear it and are prepared for Mass that when it comes
right.
on Sunday.
Yeah, you'd mentioned that, right. And I think that's a good tip for any listeners who are thinking about trying this on their own as well, that if you're looking for where do I start, where do I pick a passage from the scriptures, the gospel reading of the day is a wonderful place to start. I've actually utilized that myself, taken the Bible or the Magnificat or something, a missal of some sort, down into the Adoration Chapel, just turning to the gospel of the day and just begin a slow meditative reading through the gospel. Yeah.
Agreed. The church in our wisdom has picked these readings, so
right.
let's use them.
Right. Amen to that. Great. So we want to shift gears a little bit. And Cheryl, so you can put your microphone up there. Yes, as Cheryl joins us, Cheryl Moran is from a parishioner at Our Lady of Grace. Cheryl, it's good to have you on the show
as
well.
It's great to be here, Patrick. Thank
you. So you've been subjected to Sean's first 15 now for a while, right?
I have.
But that's not the only way, I understand, that Our Lady of Grace is practicing Lectio Divina.
Is that right?
Yeah. So what else are you doing down at Our Lady of Grace?
Well, actually, I don't know if you realize this, but you are responsible for Lectio Divina at our parish, Patrick.
Uh-oh. No, I didn't realize that. I'll accept that,
okay,
though.
Okay, okay.
Yes.
So several years ago, you invited me to one of your Saturday mornings of reflection at the cathedral.
Right.
And Sherry Waddell, who Sean mentioned, was the speaker, and she said, if you want to be a parish that evangelizes, that sees the Lord powerfully at work, you need to have a time of corporate intentional prayer. Every week.
Corporate intentional prayer.
So you gather people together and you pray intentionally for your parish, for the needs of the archdiocese, for the needs of the church, etc. So as Sean said, you don't have to wait for your pastor. There were a few of us that were at that lecture, and we went to our pastor and said, hey, can we do this? And he didn't refuse, believe it or not.
That's great.
And so we started praying, and we pray an hour a week. And when we did that, we didn't really know how we were going to start. We just kind of floundered. We picked some church documents on evangelism and just kind of tried different things. And then our associate pastor at the time said, why don't you try Lectio Divina? And we did that, and it was very, very powerful. And so that's what we've been doing ever since. And go ahead.
No, yeah, let me just ask, were you familiar with Lectio Divina before the pastor said?
I was. I became much more familiar after that. I actually had prayed Lectio Divina with an interdenominational group.
Oh, okay. Yep.
A couple of years before that, and had prayed it a couple of other times. But this priest sent me a link to an actual kind of formula of a way of praying Lectio Divina in a group, which is great. And we've been following that.
Mm-hmm.
And as Sean was saying, it's really great for helping people learn to pray. Because we're praying very, very very much in a conversation, having kind of a conversation with God and reading the scriptures and listening. And then at the very end, we take time and we individually go around and we pray for the person sitting on our left, which is really powerful, which also helps you to listen more because you're listening to see what other people are sharing and how God is speaking to them. And it's just been a really powerful, powerful practice.
Right. And so the practice of Lectio Divina that you're doing, it's like you said, corporate intentional prayer.
Yes.
How often do you get together again?
We get together once a week.
Okay.
And one thing that I would just urge everyone is to persevere. You know, I think you talked to Father Kelly about what do? You know, sometimes it's dry.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't actually hear God speak. I've never actually heard an audio sound, but I certainly have felt stirring in my heart. Mm-hmm. There have been times when there's not been much there. But you persevere, and especially with a group. So there have been times when maybe one or two people have been able to show up. So then we just go into adoration. But we started over 2.5 years ago, and now we have three different groups that are praying at three different times. And our parish as a whole is, we really seeing a lot of great fruit. People coming, and you're like, how did you even show up here in the first place? And the other thing that we're seeing is that the people who are part of that prayer group, we're doing things we never imagined. Mm. I had never imagined I would be here talking to you, and here I am.
Right.
So another friend is starting to pursue a healing ministry.
Wow.
I mean, there's just different things that weren't on our radar a few years ago when we started praying, and all of a sudden God's kind of leading us in those directions. So it's really been powerful.
Wow. That's thanks be to God for
Amen.
That, right?
Amen.
So what's in your experience now, you said you've been doing this for about 2.5 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in your experience, what's a good size of a group to practice Lectio Divina?
Yeah, I would say probably ideally 8.
Okay.
There have been a couple times when we've had 10 or 12. When we do our meetings, our parish meetings, sometimes we'll have 15 and we kind of do more of a modified version of it.
Sure.
But when you're doing a whole hour of kind of really intentional Lectio Divina, I would say 8.
Okay.
If you get a few more, that's okay. When we get much more than that, like if we get 12 at this point, we would probably split it into 2 groups just because it allows people to go a little more deeply in their sharing rather than trying to get through the whole group as
right.
you go.
So we're not talking about like putting a flyer up on the wall and having everybody show up, having 150 people show up or something like that?
No, we haven't yet.
Okay.
We have kind of, we've been doing this more by word of mouth. We've been doing workshops. We're looking at expanding this ministry. I know there is a parish, and I'm not sure where they have like a specific time, and it's led by the priest, and they will have the whole, you know, maybe a group of 100 people come, and then split up into smaller groups. When we did the workshop last September, I can't remember how many people we had, 75 to 100. Mm. And then we divided up by tables and prayed Lectio Divina with our different tables. So you can do it in a larger group format as far as like the instruction, but then break into smaller groups for the sharing.
Right. Cheryl Moran, a parishioner at Our Lady of Grace, is our guest as we're continuing to speak about Lectio Divina. Now, why don't you just walk us through, if we're coming to one of those meetings, walk us through what happens.
Okay, so we gather, and we have designated one person to lead each week.
Okay.
At the different time slots that we have. And if that person can't be there, she or he just asks another person to be the leader. So that person begins just by asking us to remember that we're in the presence of God and for the intercession of the Holy Spirit and to really be open to whatever the Holy Spirit is laying on our hearts that day. We too use the upcoming gospel. We have done other scripture passages, and occasionally we'll pick a different one. And we have one friend who's kind of in charge of the whole massive group, and she sends an email out with, this is what we will be praying with this week.
Right.
And so anyway, then we pray that the Holy Spirit would just speak to our hearts. Then that person in general will read the scripture passage once, and we just take a few minutes, maybe 3 to 5 minutes in silence and listen to it. Maybe not quite that many at the beginning, and then she'll read it through a second time.
Okay.
And during that time, all we're doing is listening for a word, whatever word God speaks to our hearts. And it can, like sometimes I've had the word in, and that's been my word. Other times it might be, give me a drink.
Mm-hmm.
So you just sit there. And so then we just go around and in a random order, we just share our word or phrase, whatever that might be.
With no explanation?
No explanation.
Okay,
no explanation.
So just the word or phrase. Yeah. Okay.
And then we encourage the group, the person, the people in the group to stick with that word or phrase if you can. So the next time we read it, we're listening.
This is the third time.
This is the third time now. We listen in particular for what is God teaching us about that word or phrase? What is it that he's saying to us? And then we take again some minutes of silence, and then we share that. God is teaching me, like if he says, give me a drink, I know that I need to come to him to get a drink, but also that I need to be looking for ways that he wants me to give someone a drink, for example. And then the final way is we read it one more time, a fourth time, and then we're looking for an application.
Okay.
What is it that God's calling me to do with this word or phrase, with whatever he's teaching me this week?
Yeah.
And then try to apply it to our lives.
Right. It's a great and pretty straightforward way of going through it. And you follow the same template every time. Is that right?
Pretty much, yes. Okay. And then we do go around and we pray for one another. We pray for our priests. We pray for initiatives that we know that are coming up. There may be someone from the parish staff or just from another part of the parish that says, could you pray for me this week? And so we'll just bring those to prayer.
Right.
I also pray Lexia Divina on my own. And so, and that I do a much more modified format.
Right. Okay. For the meetings themselves, how long do the meetings typically last?
Most of the time we go an hour. There's a couple groups that are trying a more simplified format and a little more contemplative, less sharing, but more prayer time.
Okay.
Just individual prayer time. And they're going on a half hour format. So you can do different ways.
Wow. So it's not a huge dedication of time, but I bet the fruit that you see from it is
so powerful.
Yeah, so far
powerful.
Beyond.
Absolutely.
So I'm just curious, I didn't really prompt you for this, but just wondering if there's any particular experience that you've had in praying Lexio Divina, either as part of these groups, or you said you pray it on your own, that you can recount for us about some sort of fruit that it's born in your own life.
Yeah. One word that I received probably a year ago was... God does not ration the spirit. God does not ration the spirit. I will ration the spirit, but God does not ration the spirit. And so I pray with that often in my morning prayer. Okay, Lord, here I am. Fill me to overflowing.
Right.
Let me get myself out of the way.
My cup overflows.
Exactly.
Yeah. Actually, that reminds me, I had an experience, and I want to hit on, too, that this is not something that just Catholics do. You mentioned before praying it in a group with both Catholics and Protestants, and so it's a great bridge builder, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely, because we have the scriptures in common.
Absolutely, yep, right. And I was part of a Lexio Divina group that was praying through Psalm 23, and actually the phrase, thou preparest, I'm remembering it in the King James for some reason, but thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, right? There was something that the Holy Spirit triggered in my own head about a person that I didn't realize this, but I had not forgiven for a way that they had wronged me. And when I envisioned myself seated at this table that was prepared, and I turned around and in this crowd that was behind me, his face was at the front of the crowd and looking longingly at the table.
Oh, that's powerful.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean,
that's just, and I, you know, as Father Kelly said, I'm not just making this up. This is just something that was very obviously from the Lord. And so I broke down, quite frankly, because
absolutely.
I knew immediately what I needed to do, the application piece, right?
Right.
And I think that's go ahead.
I just had one other thought. You talked about New Year's resolutions.
Oh, yeah.
I don't make resolutions because I can't keep them. But I do, and I will share this on the Encounter program, but I do make gifts. I do epiphanic gifts.
There you go.
So I think of a gift that I can give my king. My gift this year for frankincense, my gift of prayer, is to pray with scripture every day in my personal prayer time.
Wow.
So that's my...
That's great. I love it. Gifts. Yeah. Very good. Very epiphanic. Thank you for using the word once again. Our guests have been Sean Lavelle and Sharon Moran. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today and sharing with us about your own experience of Lexio Divina, which we've been talking about, this divine reading, as Father Kelly laid out for us. You begin with the Lexio, the actual reading, and meditating upon it, the meditatio under the eye of God, the oratio, the prayer, praying over what you've heard and what you've both from the Holy Scriptures and the way you've heard the Holy Spirit speaking, and the contemplatio, that leaps into flame, that it is a practice in your life. If you're interested in knowing more about Lectio Divina, as already has been mentioned, there's numerous resources out there online and in your parish, I'm sure. But we do want to emphasize that we've got an upcoming Lectio Divina workshop. Again, that's going to be Tuesday, January 31st from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And it's going to be out here in Golden Valley at Good Shepherd Catholic Church. And you can register online by going to rediscover-faith.org. And it's going to run you through it. It's going to teach you the how, but it's also, and probably more importantly, going to actually lead us through praying Lectio Divina. And a free will offering will be collected. A suggested donation is $10. And that's including all this wonderful, rich spiritual nutrition, but also a light dinner. So really no reason to not come out and learn a little bit more about this wonderful way of incorporating this prayer into your life. So as we turn the page now to our next break, we will continue to think about ways we can be epiphanic and the ways that the church is doing that as we talk about upcoming events around the Archdiocese. Stay with us.
We have tremendous devotion to Faustina and tremendous devotion to the Divine Mercy Chaplet that we pray. It's the most listened to half hour on our network every afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern Time and 3 o'clock Central Time. And Father Kazimierz Szwalek, Faustina, the Mystic and Her Message, it's said to be the first definitive biography.
She was so focused on Jesus, especially in the Eucharist. Eucharist, for her, was a source of almost all spiritual power. All the extraordinary graces that she received, her love for the Eucharist, for the love of Jesus present in the Eucharist. And then secondly, in the Paschal Mystery, Christ suffering, dying, and rising. She wanted to be with him. She wanted to console him. She wanted to assist him in saving others. And that became so powerful because we're at the heart of who we are as Christians, sharing that communion, that love with him, you know, that love that he has for us.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
In the morning when I rise, help me to prioritize all the thoughts that fill my day.
And a great way of prioritizing that is through Lectio Divina and many other ways that we've got going on here in the local area. Paul Sadek joins us.
Boodles and boodles.
Indeed. Lead us off there, Paul.
Be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
Mark your calendars for the next Women's Breakfast at the Church of St. Helena in Minneapolis on Saturday, January 14th, 2017 at 8:30 a.m. Deacon Dan Gannon will be speaking on Affirming Human Life at the End of Life in Rowan Hall. That's 3204 East 43rd Street. The cost of the breakfast is only $5, and reservations must be made by Friday, January 13th at 12 noon by calling 612-729-7321. Women are also invited to come to Mass at 8 a.m.
St. Hubert Catholic Community invites all men to attend the Men on Fire Retreat. It's presented by the John Paul II Healing Center. Disciples were transformed from fearful hiding to confident and bold world changers. Answer the call of St. John Paul II to become who you are. Set the whole world on fire. It's January 20th and 21st, Friday 6 to 9:30, Saturday 8 to 5, lunch included on Saturday. Online registration, $50 per person. Find out more at jp2healingcenter.org. That's jpiihealingcenter.org. Click on events and retreats or contact Deacon Jim Bouse at jim.bouse@sthubert.org.
This January, the King's House Retreat Center in Buffalo, Minnesota is holding two men's silent retreat weekends on reawakening hope. The first silent retreat weekend is being held from January 13th to 15th, with the second weekend being held from January 20th to 22nd. A women's silent weekend retreat on reawakening hope will take place at King's House on January 27th through 29th. For more information, visit kingshouse.com.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to Theology on Tap. It's presented by the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith at O'Gara's in St. Paul, Wednesday, January 18th. Social hour, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. The speaker begins at 7:30 p.m. On January 18th, come to hear local Catholic musician Luke Spihar present on the musician's inspiration. For our information, visit cathedralstpaul.org/CYA.
Men's Discernment Retreat with Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins has a new date, January 20th through 22nd at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo. Men interested in the priesthood are invited to this retreat, which takes place from 6:30 p.m. Friday until Sunday at noon. Communal and private prayer, adoration, Mass, and presentations by Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins are designed to help participants discern their future vocation. Register online by January 16th at www.10000vocations.org. That's the number 10000vocations.org/events.
Are you playing hooky again next week?
I am. You know what? I was given a week off. How about that?
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe all right. I'll get one someday.
We'll think about it, Paul. Right. We'll see okay. What we can. Well, but what's
so
coming
what's
up time? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
All right. So next time we will talk about the upcoming March for Life. Guest host will be popular author, speaker, and retreat leader Alyssa Bormas. We'll be joined by Hannah Hochman, the 2016 Champions for Life winner. The pro-life movement is a mission on Hannah's heart, and she dedicates her time to many pro-life endeavors through parish groups and the public school setting. We'll also hear from Catholic Youth Minister Pat Millay and Youth Ministry Event Coordinator Bill Dill in the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. If I can say it, eventually,
not
that's what's coming up.
Yeah, no.
That's right.
Give up.
Yeah, right. Give up. Well, I tell you what, I think it's an important thing to say it one more time. Be epiphanic, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. In the meantime, my brothers and sisters, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.